It's actually known as the only library in USA with no books. I think it's great.
Funny.
Yeah, that's a good funny. One. That's a real good one. I'd love gosh. To do that one. Do you love to travel?
Do you love finding hidden treasures in towns all over the USA? Hi, I'm Joshua.
And I'm Craig. Welcome to Treasures of Our Town, the podcast that explores unique and charming towns scattered throughout the United States.
Join us as we venture into some of the country's most intriguing destinations, uncovering hidden gems and local secrets along the way.
On today's episode, Josh, we're doing not 1 to 15, we're doing 15 to 1 of the, what would you class them as, Josh? What would you class these as? The most favorited virtuals in the good old USA? Of A. And when we talk virtuals, we're talking virtual geocaches, of course.
This is going to be virtually a really great episode.
Virtually, it absolutely is. But how have you been? What have you been up to the last few weeks since we spoke last?
Well, I don't think I've been up to as much as you have been up to. I've been up to my day job, which is going great. But yesterday was a big day of Munzee for me. Can you believe it? A big day of Munzee for me in February in Minnesota.
Jeez, I did see that, mate. You got lots and lots of points. Now, you know, I've been trying to peg you back from your Florida trip and the extra day you spent in Florida and just obliterated me. And I've been trying to peg you back. But after yesterday, nope, that's all lost again. So,
well, Florida really motivated me now that I'm ahead of you again to maintain my lead. And if you're listening to this podcast for the first time, you're like, what the heck are these guys talking about? They're using strange words right away. The word Munzee, what? It's another location-based game, similar to geocaching. Mm-hmm. And we have a lot of fun with it. And yesterday was a big day because there were double points. So I had over 500,000 points. And it was a good time. And I got to hang out with our good friend, Minnesota Boy, and my whole crew. I rejoined my crew.
Yes. You rejoined your crew after you did. You went solo. You did what are those singers, Josh, that go solo? I mean, there's a few of them. Harry Styles. You did a Harry Styles and went solo and actually made more, not money, but got more points, went higher levels, and then you reneged and went back to your group. So that's really nice.
Yeah, I'm back. It was a reunion. It was fantastic. Now, Craig is currently still on the road
on your
road trip.
Yeah.
Last time we talked, you were on the road trip. I think last time we talked, you were somewhere on the East Coast. Where are you now?
I've gone in West. I'm in Alabama. So that's where I'm currently sitting. I'm sitting in a baseball parking lot as well. I'm telling you now, Scott and Jesse from the GCPC would be proud. I'm sitting in an empty parking lot in a baseball field here in Alabama, just over the border itself. I've been doing a lot of Munzee playing, a lot of geocaching as well, and I've been starting my videos again, Josh, too.
Yes, I've been enjoying those videos. You're doing the Cache Across America. Have you been targeting these Cache Across America geocaches?
Yes. Yeah. So I've been targeting them only in the last few weeks since I basically started my road trip. Before I did my road trip this time around, I hadn't actually obtained any. So this is all fresh territory for me because Cache Across America, Nancy, our good friend Nancy up in Buffalo, New York, she's the one that reached out to me and said, Craig, have you heard about this Cache Across America? And so she gave me the list because her website, geocachingcentral.com, has the full list. Full list, Josh, of the Cache Across America. So I downloaded that list and away I go. An actual fact, here you go. In a previous episode where we spoke to your daughter, Reese the Rock Johnson, about what was the place called again?
Bowling Green, Kentucky, yes.
Yeah, Cache Across America, Kentucky is located at the Bowling Green until a week ago and it got archived. So I'll have to look at now where the next one is.
Because it was at the Corvette Museum, and they were probably like, why do these people keep on going next to the woods at the Corvette Museum?
Exactly.
Are they searching out another sinkhole? Is the whole museum going to fall into a hole?
Exactly. So anyway, Josh, we don't have that much time to spend because, as I said, I'm in my car at the moment, and I'm running on like a Jackery battery. So we've got to get a move on. Firstly, Josh, tell the people, especially those non-geocachers that listen as well, what is a virtual geocache?
I will tell them. Mm-hmm. But here's the deal.
Yeah.
I need to make a qualifying statement before we start this podcast today.
Yep, yep, yep.
And that is, this is not a geocaching podcast.
No. Nope.
But I'm going to just say today, it's I'd say heavy-ish. Would you say, Greg, heavy-ish on the geocaching content?
It's as heavy as a sumo wrestler on the geocaching content. Josh, that's what it is, 100%.
And yes, so it's heavy on geocaching. This mm-hmm. podcast, if you're listening to the first time, this podcast is a travel podcast guided by geolocation games. And so today we are going to be talking about virtual geocaches, which I'll tell you what that is in a minute. And these are locations. I'm just really excited because this list is really spread out all around the country. So, Craig, a virtual geocache is on the geocaching website, geocaching.com. However, it is a geocache that is pretty rare. I'd say fairly rare. Mm-hmm. Where you are not looking for a physical container. With regular geocaching, you're looking for some sort of box or some sort of thing where you sign a logbook. With a virtual geocache, it usually takes you to a really cool location. And when you get there, you have to either get your picture there or you have to get some information at the location. And once you do, you can kind of claim it as a find on the geocaching website.
Yeah,
so exactly it takes you to a cool place. And now, let me just say this too. It's often places that a physical geocache would not make sense.
True, true.
Meaning that it would cause suspicion or like, or it would disappear.
Exactly. Josh, do you own a virtual geocache?
I almost do.
What do you mean you almost do? Explain you almost do.
So geocaching...
Yeah, I was going to say, you can't actually just go and place a virtual cache. It has to be awarded to you from headquarters. And they've done several handouts over the last few years.
Yes, they just awarded another round of virtual geocaches that can be hidden in January. And finally, Craig, I got one.
Oh, you did?
I got a credit. So, but I haven't put it out yet. So I'm really you know, thinking about, you know, what should I do? And I wanted to kind of maybe do this show so I could be inspired or other people could be inspired that got, you know, some of those credits to think about what makes a great virtual geocache or what makes a great location. And many of these, as we went through, we're going to divide these up and divide and conquer. Many of these places, I'm like, oh, I want to do that. That sounds like a lot of fun.
Exactly, exactly. Now, we used a website called Project GC to obtain this, and I'll explain. Project GC is just another website, and it's more statistics-driven website regarding all your geocaching needs and finds. They do challenge cache checkers. They do anything from, like you see here, with the best, the worst, the most found, the least found, like any statistic you can think of is on Project GC. And not just your own, but you can do individual players, you can do worldwide, you could do, you know, you could even do countywide, Josh, countywide. Yes. So
this is the probably the very nerdy side of geocaching is all the
statistics. Oh yes, I can't believe that I haven't found the fourth county from the left in Ohio.
Josh, in saying that though, I did have a conversation with our good friend Tim, a Minnesota boy, yesterday in regards to you and I, and he said that, you know, with Munzee Play, for instance, you got your spark back a little bit since I overtook you in the points, and you got your spark back now, and you're playing a lot more, etc. And I said, Tim, the thing is though, Josh and I, we never actually talk about, oh, how many finds do you have? How many quality finds do you have? We don't talk about that in geocaching that often. Munzee's a very different beast altogether, isn't it, really?
Yes, because I think geocaching is, you know, especially these, what we're talking about today, it's about locations. So it's not really very competitive, like, oh, I got this location and you didn't. Although I was jealous when I saw that gigantic dresser drawer that you found somewhere. Oh my gosh. Where was that?
South Carolina. So it was a city in South Carolina, Josh. And again, we could do a show just on a couple of little hidden gem towns that I've been to across my road trip so far. South Carolina, I'm not sure because you didn't put on the show notes to talk about it. So I'm not sure exactly the location, but stalk my statistics and you'll see. But there is it's classed as the biggest furniture town in the US. Okay. And there's the world's largest dresser drawer is there, and it's just literally on the side of the road. you know, in a residential area as well. It's got socks coming out of the dresser drawer as well. And I'm going to say this thing, Josh, this thing is going to be at least four stories high. But there's another one, and it's the world's largest tall boy dresser drawer. So there's different dresser drawers. That one, though, is actually at the furniture business, and that is an actual virtual geocache as well.
Okay.
Owned. Have a guess who owns that one, Josh. You know him very well.
Who owns it?
Who owns that virtual geocache? Yeah. The world's tallest tall boy in South Carolina.
Doug McRae? I don't
know.
Who is it?
Hailmeister.
What?
The Hailmeister owns that virtual. Yes, wow. I know, right?
Cool.
He doesn't even live in that state, you know? So, anyway.
So, before we get into this list, we're doing the top 15 virtual locations according to Project GC, according to a very special nerdy sort of algorithm.
It is.
It is called the Wilson Lower Score something.
Obviously, a guy called Wilson or a lady called Wilson. Yeah.
Wilson figured it out. This.
Yeah, Wilson did.
But these are high percentage favorite points. And so if you're not a geocacher, what that means is that people award points to geocaches that they really love. Mm-hmm. And so this has a high percentage of favorite points. And many of these, as we go through many of these, a lot of them are like at 100%. Like if they found it, even if it was only like six people, if they found it, they all gave it a favorite point. So these are really cool locations. If you're not a geocacher, you're going to enjoy this show because you can go to these locations and not be a geocacher. These are destinations.
Exactly. And they are exactly what the show is about. And that is hidden gems, Josh. They're hidden gems. They're not, not the big things. They're not big
a lot
things
of geocachers here. Are not even going to know what about these.
No, I didn't know a lot of them.
Josh, if you are a geocacher, you'll love the show too.
Josh, do you want to start? You can do the odds and I'll do the evens. Do you want to go 15 to 1, mate? Do 15 to 1? Do the countdown? Sure.
Are we going to give are we going to give GC codes as well? As we go along, or will they be in the show notes?
The whole list is going to be in the show notes. The full perfect. Project GC list is going to be in the show notes. So
So if you're at your desktop and want to play along, it'll be in the show notes. You can look at the pictures and stuff of these locations and stuff like that. So, all right,
number 15
is in the Ozarks of Missouri. North of Branson. We've talked about Branson on this podcast when we talked about our Christmas episode. Like it's a big Christmas tree place.
Exactly.
Yes. And this is an old one. This one was created in 2002.
Oh.
Sadly, it's archived.
And two it's still on the list.
Yeah, two on these lists are archived. But we kept it on the list because, for example, this one still exists.
Yes.
So what this is called, this is called Grave Hop. Grave Hop. And it sounds like a new Halloween song. We're going to the Grave Hop, baby.
Yes.
We're going to the Grave Hop, baby. We're going to see some dead stuff.
All the zombies are up dancing like, you know, Thriller sort of thing. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. We're at the Grave Hop, baby. I don't know why I just made it a 1920s song.
You did.
Okay.
Anyway, what's about this, Josh?
So it's a cemetery. Mm-hmm. It's a cemetery, as you guessed. You could probably guess. And, you know, in the world of geocaching, there's a lot of cemetery hides. Mm-hmm. But the thing that was cool about this is I did my research. The concept was really cool. And this concept could be replicated at any cemetery in the world. Really?
Really?
Especially if you have a cemetery that has like famous people buried there. Mm-hmm. But what you do is you go to the geocaching website and you download a game card. And the game card has all, like, I don't know, like 30 or 40 different coordinates with different graves you need to find. And then at each spot, you need to answer a question. This is really, this is going to take a lot of work. And once you get 20 points on the game card, and I don't know if the different locations are worth different points, but once you get 20 points, you take a picture of the game card, and then you upload, you send that to the owner of the virtual, and then you get the find.
That's pretty cool. It's like a graveyard bingo.
Exactly.
Bingo for the really old.
Totally. Yes. Yeah. So I've never heard of this concept. I don't know. I looked. I don't know if there's anybody famous. I'm sure there's some people famous buried there. But what I really loved about this is it was just like the concept of it. the concept.
That's a great concept.
Like it would probably, it looks like a lot of people that did do it, it took them hours to do it. So
really, yeah.
It's a lost cemetery outside the Ozarks called Grave Hop Baby, north of Branson. Number 14.
Now we're going down. Number 14 is in Ohio. Mm-hmm. This one here is called Grove City Remembers. The cash owner itself is I'm going to say KB Last rather than K Blast.
K Blast.
It's a DT, Josh, a DT. DT, difficulty and terrain. So this difficulty is a 5, so it's the hardest difficulty you can do. Terrain is a 1, which is the easiest difficulty you can do, and you can do in a wheelchair. To complete this virtual geocache, you'll be driving to 3 different locations around Grove City. Get this though, Josh. Again, okay, like your one just then as well, you don't have to actually download the bingo card sort of thing.
Okay.
But you do have to use your cell phone. And what you have to do is when you get to your first location, you have to text this cell phone the actual answer. You get that answer correct, and then the cell phone will text back to you, or that cell number will text back to you the next spot. You see?
Oh my gosh.
And you go in your vice versa all the way through. Now, if you don't get any text back at all, then you're wrong and you've got to redo the answer and have a look, make sure it's the correct one, et cetera, et cetera. So that's how it is. So it is like a virtual tour again of this Grove City. You see?
And a multi cache.
And a multi in
and combined. kind of like a homemade where I go.
Yes.
Sorry for you guys, for people that don't know what that is.
I know.
But okay, Craig, so is it automated, or is there just some guy in his apartment? Is K-Blast just hanging out answering questions?
It's automated. It's automated because the person you're texting, his name is Phip, P-H-I-P, Phip,
okay,
or P-Hip. That's the person you're texting. So it's automated and goes from there. It takes about 15 minutes total to do if you're correct the whole time around. So it's not too long itself to do it. It's got 64% favorite points, this one itself. And as I said, it runs like a virtual tour of the town. You got an automated quiz master, Josh, with this one. See?
That's really cool. So did you look at any of the photos? What kind of places does it take you in Grove City?
I didn't look at the photos.
Because you didn't want to spoil it, right?
Exactly.
You didn't want to spoil it for yourself.
Exactly.
You're going to be going to Grove City. You're going to want to.
Yeah.
You're going to want to see it in person.
Exactly right. So no, I didn't actually didn't look at the photo. So that's number 14, Josh. There you go, in Grove City, Ohio.
Okay, and now for number 13. Guess where we're going, C. Michelle?
We're going
back to Ohio.
Oh. Really?
You know what, Craig? I think geocaching is very big in Ohio.
Yeah.
Like, I think there are a lot of geocachers for the size of that state.
Yeah.
I mean, when we went to Seneca County to do the pizza tour, shout out to that episode.
That was great.
Like, there's a lot of geocachers in Ohio. You know, the Midwest Geobash is there. Mm-hmm. And like that's one of the biggest geocaching events in the country. Like, just a side note, there's no surprise that several of these are Ohio. This one is called Backcountry Virtual Reward. And this is in a little town called Yellow Springs, Ohio. It's a little outside Dayton. It's basically a wilderness park. And I read the cache page. It was so interesting. The cache owner basically says, there's so many amazing, beautiful places all over the world. I love travel. I love getting out. But there's no place like home. He utilized his virtual to highlight this wilderness park that was filled with, I actually looked at the pictures for this one.
Yeah. Craig.
I spoiled it for myself. There are rock formations, several waterfalls. So there's 10 different spots. You have to get information at 10 different spots throughout this wilderness area. And it's about a 5-mile hike. So it's nothing like, wow, that's super special. But I think this just highlights that there's treasures in every town.
Exactly
and
right.
This was this backcountry wilderness tour with 10 different locations with several waterfalls and rock formations. Mm-hmm. Beautiful area is number 13. Backcountry virtual.
How long do you reckon it'll take to do the 5? And you have to do it by foot. It's actually a hike. Yeah. You can't do this one in a vehicle. So again, it's one of those ones where you need to get out and get some exercise, Josh, which we all need.
Yes. I'd say 10 spots. You got to get the picture, probably got to get the information. I can't remember if there's information. It's tough to get information out in the wilderness. So it might just be pictures, But I don't know what. How does it take? How long does it take you for a 5 mile hike and a little bit of stopping? I'd say it's going to take a couple hours at least.
Exactly, a couple hours. Probably to do two. It. Exactly right. So it depends on your fitness level, etc. Well, Josh, number 12. We're going to go up north in number 12. We're going the border of the US and Canada border. Ooh. It's called the Haskell Free Border Crossing. Yes, Haskell, H-A-S-K-E-L-L. Not Hassle, Haskell Free.
I love a good Haskell Free Border Crossing.
Exactly. The CEO to this one is Mr. ARC. It's located in Vermont, technically Vermont and Canada as well. It's a 2022 cache. The DT is a 2-1, so it's an easier one to get. Because you only need two photos self to actually log the cache, 69% favorite points. Now, the Haskell Free Library and Opera House, that's what it is. It's located on the border of USA and Canada. And Josh, literally on the border, there's a line that goes through the center of the building.
That's so funny. It's half the building is half the building's in Canada. That's brilliant. I love that.
Once you get in there itself, one of the photos you need to take is you literally crossing over the border inside back and forth. You can jump back and forth as much as you want, but the CO on the page says, please, please, please only do this inside the building because it's illegal to do it outside the building. So only do it inside the building itself, not outside. Now, there are guided tours available, but not required for the find, of course, as well. You do have to check the opening hours for this one. It is only available Tuesday through to Saturday, so no Sunday and Monday is closed. But, Josh, this is what I found the funniest thing, the funniest thing about this whole thing, because it's the Opera House and the library, right? Technically, the library component of the building is on the Canadian side with all the books, etc. So it's actually known as the only library in USA with no books. I think it's great.
Funny.
Yeah, that's a good funny. One. That's a real good one. I'd love to do that one.
Is there a border patrol guy inside the building, like taking passports?
Yes, because you can only actually enter from the US side. You can't actually enter from the Canada side. So you can only enter from the US side. Yeah. Yeah.
So if you're Canadian, you're going to have to go into the United States and then go into the building. You can't, there's no window. You can't just go through the window.
No. And also on the cache page, I thought this is funny. On the cache page, Josh, they did have that back in the day when it was built and everything as well, it was used as like a place to put smuggle things over the border, you know, that sort of thing. So the guy said, I had to place a virtual cache here because placing a physical cache would look too suspicious.
Yes, makes total sense. Well, so far, that's number 12. So far, that's number 12. That's my favorite so far, Craig.
I know. I knew it would
That was a good one. I got to visit that. All right. So we're going to number 11. We've almost broken to the top 10, Craig.
Yeah.
We're going to Colorado. We're going to the Rocky Mountains.
Oh.
And we're going to the South Aropo Peak. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Craig, this is a mountaintop. This is way up there. Oh my gosh, I look at the pictures. It is beautiful. This is east of Boulder. And we're talking, if you're a decent hiker, 4 hours up. 4 hours up. 4 hours one way. Yep. 4 hours one way, probably maybe 3 hours down. And this has only been logged 6 times.
Yeah.
This is not an easy one to get to. I think this is a terrain 5. And I think the difficulty is pretty.
DT of 3.5, 4.5. So it's a 4.5 terrain because you don't actually need specialist equipment. You just need to be really fit.
Here's what I love about geocaching. I don't know about you. I'm intimidated. I'm intimidated by mountain hikes, you know, because you don't necessarily know what you're getting into. You don't know if you're going to have to be doing bouldering or if you're going to sometimes need special equipment. What I love about geocaches like this, it pretty much tells you exactly what you're going to run into.
What you're going to need.
And if you read the logs, you can know like other people's experience because it's intimidating. I mean, this is how you die. This is how you die geocaching is doing stuff like this. But it seems like this though, even though it's 4 hour hike up, it seems doable. which I really like.
Yeah.
And when you get up there, I don't know if this is unique in the world of mountaineering, that you say, but there's this big metal disc, like the size of a pizza.
Oh,
up there.
On the ground
on top of the mountain, like at the peak.
You have
to do some like measurements or whatever to prove that you were up there. So you'll see the pictures of it if you looked at the cache page. But yeah, it just looks like one of those just beautiful. I don't know if it's a 14er. I don't know if it's that tall. If you look at the pictures, man, they're way up there. And this should give you a clue of like, of how like maybe difficult it is. Mm-hmm. One of the people that did it said, "Oh, I did this the next day after I hiked up Pikes Peak."
Oh, geez. That's insane.
I've driven up Pikes Peak. It's up there. Can you imagine hiking up Pikes Peak?
No, thank you.
This is for people that you got to be in shape. But I would like to do something like this someday. This would be quite an accomplishment.
Absolutely. Well, quick side story, Josh. I follow a guy on YouTube, and he's a traveler / he likes to do his hikes and climb some mountains as well. And he films himself even with drones as he's literally climbing the side of a mountain. Wow. There's a drone hanging off the side filming him do it. Like he's a solo traveler. Wow. He's fantastic. But he gets up to the top of these mountains, and Josh, he finds these ammo cans, he finds, PVC containers, and he calls them, they're peak logs. So you sign your name on the peak log. So there you go. Yeah. And I explained, I messaged him saying, are you sure that's not a geocache, whatever? He's like, no, I do geocaching as well. These are peak logs. I'm like, oh, there you go. So there you go. Anyway, I digress, Josh, as always.
Yes.
Number 10. Number 10.
Top 10, baby.
Top 10.
Here we go.
We're in the top 10. Now, this one is located in D.C., District of Columbia, the D.C. itself. This one's called Lee Key and Teddy. The CO is Pengel 123. I'm not even sure if I said that right. The DT for this one, now D difficulty, T terrain, is 3.5. Yep, it's a terrain 5. It means you need a boat. You need a boat for this one. What specialist equipment do I need to be in DC apart from just something to block your ears from all the politics? But anyway, you have to visit three bridge locations, you see, and do three questions and a photo. But get this, Josh, you also have to submit a drawing of one of the bridges.
You have to draw.
So you're sitting in a rocky boat. And you're trying to draw one of the bridges. I mean, I don't know if he or she rates your bridge drawing or not. But you actually have to do a drawing as well. So it's all about the bridges itself as well that cross the Potomac River. So apparently, it's a great history lesson for the bridges and how they were built and what they're used for. So there you go.
Well, that's fascinating. I wonder, what kind of. Did you look at any of the pictures? What kind of boat?
I did. Well, any kind of boat. So you could do it in a kayak, for instance.
Okay.
You could do it in, we call a tinny in Australia, which is we call it aluminium, you call it aluminum boats. We call them tinnies. But so, yeah, you can do it any sort of boat. But yeah.
So you don't have to, like, charter a boat?
No, you don't have to. But if you don't have one, then I suppose you would have to charter.
Yeah, rent one or something.
Rent one.
Okay,
exactly.
Cool.
So there you go. That's like number 10. That's number 10, Josh.
Number 9.
Number 9.
You like that? Do you like that? Yeah, I was trying to make it all like, like MTV's top
fancy
10. Well, MTV hasn't done a top 10 since 1998, but never mind. Okay.
Really showing your age.
Yeah. We're going to West Virginia.
West Virginia.
Mount Mama. Take me home, country route. This is in New Cumberland, West Virginia.
Yeah.
It is at the very tippy top of West Virginia.
Yeah.
Its biggest city closest to it, Pittsburgh. It's like that little section between Ohio and Pennsylvania. And there's a little section of land that's West Virginia.
This one is
called I am come to the storehouse of knowledge. That doesn't sound like good English. Come to the storehouse of knowledge. That's what it's called.
I am come to the storehouse of knowledge. You gotta say there's some sort of come. There you go.
And this is a historical building. Used to be like an elementary school, but the thing that makes it special about this is a land where they've created bricks in the past. And so the outside of the building are these, you'll have to look at the pictures on the website if you're playing along. There's decorative bricks embedded into the building of like different things. There's like one of like a horse, and there's like a woman laying down like inside the bricks, like a little thing. And the whole thing, this could be really fun for kids. Yes. It's like a scavenger hunt, treasure hunt, finding different things hidden inside of each of these bricks.
Yes, I just saw the photos.
Yeah, answering several questions. So it's kind of like, it's a historic building, but the unique thing about this are these bricks that are embedded in the building that have just like all these really cool designs. It kind of reminds me of my comic book, The Greatest Treasure, where the pyramid, you had to find all the little things inside of it. Yeah, something like
that. I was going to say, this very much to me looks like the pyramid sort of style, you know, the Egyptian style sort of with the hieroglyphics. It's not water. Hieroglyphics. In that one, Josh, you got eight questions to answer as well. Mm-hmm. And it is a DT of D3 terrain 2. So,
yes. A lot of these on this list, you got to give yourself some time on them. And I think, Craig, that's why some of these are ranked high on the lower Wilson score, because if you're going to spend, for example, 4 hours hiking up a mountain, or if you're just going to spend a couple hours like doing a scavenger hunt with bricks or whatever, you're going to be like, wow, that took a lot of effort and I feel accomplished that I completed it. So I'm going to give it a favorite point. I think a lot of these have to do with a sense of how the person that was doing it felt after they were done. They were like, that was a cool experience. These are not just like quick parking grabs. These are experiences.
These aren't the ones where you literally go to a statue or something and take a selfie with a statue and submit that. That's it. They're done. You know, that's what really, some people do that and don't even read the description. Don't even know why the statue exists, Josh. They're just there for the, for the smiley and that's it. So very, very true. Very true. Well, we're getting down now to number 8, Josh. 8 in the list. We're going all the way across to California, baby.
And California this girls are unbelievable.
Sorry about everything.
I know.
This one's called, I'm gonna really butcher this name, but it's Santa Nez Lake Shrine. Y-N-E-Z. Is it Nez?
Yanez. I think it's Yanez. Santa Yanez.
Santa Yanez Lake Shrine. We know this CEO, Josh. We know this one.
I think she listens to the show.
Yeah.
I think she does.
Yeah.
UDAC
is the CEO of this one. It's 2019, so it's relatively newish compared to the 2002s. DT of 2, 1.5, because there's one question and one photo. So it's not that hard.
Simple.
But Josh, again, this is a hidden gem, if ever I've seen it here.
Tell me about it.
80% favorite points itself. I've looked at the photos. It looks beautiful, Josh. It's a tranquil gardenscape near Santa Monica in California itself. It features a spring-fed lake that used to be, Josh, it used to be part for an area where they used to do film all the silent movies back in the day.
Oh, neat. Love that.
Yeah, so that sort of stuff. That's really cool. And since then, it's now opened up, Lake Shrine's opened up to the public in 1950, and it contains the first monument in the world to honor Mahatma Gandhi.
Wow.
It's very tranquil. It's very, what do you call it, you know, where you meditative? Is that the word, meditative?
Meditative.
Where you go there to literally stop, you know, and
to pause.
Zen yourself, to pause, to meditate, to get grounded. The grass is always green, Josh, because it's a spring-fed lake, you know.
Yes.
Trees are beautiful. You know, everything is beautiful there. So it is one of those, again, those hidden gem locations where, you know what, you probably would just pass it, to be honest with you, if you're a normal tourist, if you weren't a geocacher. So there you go.
Yeah.
It is only open, though, Wednesday to Sundays, 12 to 4. So that's all it is. So the gate access is only offered from 10 to 1. And Josh, parking, as always in California, you can think this parking does need reservations, apparently. So,
oh, good to know.
Yeah, there you go.
What do you have to do to complete the virtual? Is it photos? Is it questions?
One question.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Yeah, one question, one photo. That's it. That's all it is. So that's the reason why it's a difficulty of 2. One question, one photo. Easy said and done. But, Josh, that was a place where literally you could probably spend, you do one question, one photo, it takes you 5 minutes. But you could then spend the next hour, you know, grounding yourself and getting your head right again, which is really nice. So there you go.
Love that.
Number 8. Yes, that's beautiful.
All right. I got a number 7.
Number 7, yes.
Craig, you and I were so close to this one and we didn't even considerate. Didn't really? Even do it. Yeah, we were so close. This is outside of Yuma, Arizona.
We were there.
We were there.
Yeah.
It is the Castle Dome Mountaintop Terrain 5. looks like a very difficult hike.
That's why we didn't do it.
Here's what it's called, Craig. It's called High Up.
How old is this one, Josh? How old is this one?
This one, 2002. It's old, 22 years old. Oh. It's been logged 35 times, but again, people love it, and it's a beautiful. If you see the pictures, it's like the top of this huge dome. It's one of those things you can see it in the distance, and you're like, wow, that's really up there. I wonder how hard it would be able to get up there. The answer, probably pretty hard.
Is it still available, this one, Josh? Because it says here on the cache page has now been locked.
This is interesting. I'm looking at the cache page right now, and it says it's locked, but
it's not disabled.
But it's not disabled. So we got, this is fascinating. We have it. This is a mystery, because it looks like it was archived, but people still are hiking up there.
Yes.
And they're still, exactly. And they still logged it. Although the last log was over five years ago.
So we couldn't have done it then, Josh. We couldn't have done it. That's why we didn't do it.
I'm gonna say
that's why we didn't do it.
But let me just say, it's still there. It's still there.
The mountain's not going anywhere. It didn't like, you know, the mountain's still there to climb. You can still do it and just not log the find. So yeah, exactly.
Yep. There you go. And I'm looking at some of the pictures. I mean, this is I don't know if it takes special equipment, but there's some really tricky spots here of climbing. But it's a favorite out there in the desert. Mm-hmm. And
exactly.
There we go. Up high. Number seven.
We're coming into number six now, but I can ask you a question, though. The Canada-Vermont border, is that still your favorite so far? I think that was number 12. Is that still your favorite?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so far, that's the one I want to visit. Yeah, that's a funny one.
That's really cool. All right. Number six, Josh, I think this one may be going to knock off number 12 for you, and that is the Barney Smith's Toilet Seat Museum.
Yes.
Located in Texas. The CO is Cybercat.
Finally, one that I've been to.
You've done this one. It's a DT-11. But again,
it's so good.
Again,
Craig,
it's archived and now locked too. So, unfortunately.
So, I've been to this one. Do you want me to describe it?
Yeah, go ahead.
You want me to describe it?
Yeah, absolutely.
I know this isn't mine. This isn't the one I was assigned.
No, but you've been.
So, this is a man by the name of Barney Smith. Over years, he's an artist. I would say he's a folk artist. Mm-hmm. And in his garage, he had, past tense, he had a toilet seat museum where he would decorate toilet seats, like decorate them and like different themes. Like you think of anything in the world, he's probably made a toilet seat out of it.
I have seen all those toilet seats, Josh, where they're like all that perspex or whatever, and you can see through them, and they've got the fish, and they've got, you know, different things inside them. But his is also about the painting of the toilet seats too, is it?
Yeah, paints them, and he actually uses dentist drill bits. Oh. I've talked to the guy.
Yeah.
He used dentist drill bits to like make the toilet seats permanent. So it's kind of like, imagine like, you know, like a wood burning kit, but it's like he etches in there, he colors it. Some of them are 3D, Craig. Some of them have like things protruding out of them, and they're all like, they all have like themes.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So anyway, Craig, I've been to this location twice. And the first time I went, I DNF'd it.
Yeah. Oh, how did you DNF it? Because it was locked.
I DNF'd a virtual, because Barney Smith was getting up there.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was like almost 100 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, if we're going to do this, we better go down. By the way, it's in San Antonio, Texas.
Yes. Yep.
And we're like, we better get down there. And we get down there, and there's a note on the front door saying Barney is sick in the hospital.
Oh no.
And so I couldn't get, so I DNF'd.
Oh, so
we
you
went,
had to,
we
yeah.
went all the way to San Antonio.
Wow.
Tammy and I, just for that.
Just for that.
So you know what we did, Craig? Mm-hmm. I knew exactly what I needed to do.
Did you go to the hospital?
Beelined it. No.
Ask for his keys and got him looking.
No. Yeah, we broke in. No.
Yeah.
We went to the Walmart.
Yeah.
And got a bunch of Sharpie markers. And in the car, Tammy designed a get well card out of a toilet seat.
Oh, that is really cool. That is really cool.
Yes. And then, Craig, over a year passes by, Barney got the card, in quotation marks, and he took his dentist tools and he made it permanent. Like he actually, like, and then he put the card in the museum.
That is really cool. That is really cool.
So I knew that I had to go down there again. So I went down there again with a bunch of friends, and it was really special because we were the people to close it out because Barney had sold the museum to a restaurant in Dallas, in a place called the Colonies. So when we got there, we were the last group to see the toilet museum, and we helped him pack up. Helped him pack up his museum to be shipped away because he sold it.
That's really cool. So can you still see this museum? Can you still see the displays?
Yes. Yeah. So Barney Smith, unfortunately, a few years ago passed away. But his museum it's on a beautiful display. And they have a building just for it at this restaurant. And it's called The Colonies, which I believe is like a northern suburb of Dallas. Mm-hmm. So I have a special assignment. If you're in Dallas area, you're listening to this. I want my toilet seat back.
Oh yeah.
I want my get well card from Barney back.
So you can put it
I'm willing to pay for it.
You can put it on your wall.
I'm willing to pay for it. Yeah. It would be so cool to have it back,
really
don't you think?
That would be really, really
cool. And so I've tried to contact the Colonies and I just haven't gotten anywhere. But I think what it would take would be somebody physically asking about it.
Yeah,
so
physically being there.
Here's the thing. Barney has cataloged every single one of his toilet seats. My toilet seat is toilet seat 1341.
1341. There you go.
1341.
Yep.
And when we packed it up, I have a video of this. You can see what video we packed it. It was in these banana boxes, you know, where they deliver bananas to restaurants. Somewhere in a storage unit, it's in box 116.
Because there's so many.
Not all of them are on display. Yes. So my toilet seat is just sitting in a box. So, if you go to this, the Colonies, the Toilet Seat Museum, ask somebody about it. Go, I know a guy that made one of these seats and he would really like it back. Is it in a back room? Yeah. Where is it?
Where is box
and please contact us.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly.
Contact us. I think if we get a lot of people visiting, asking about it, they're gonna maybe it might be more of a priority.
Exactly.
And I'll go down there. I'll pick it up. I'll make a video.
Yes.
I'll promote the colony.
Yes.
I'll promote the colonies.
Yeah.
But this is an incredible thing. So even though the virtual is gone, it's no longer in San Antonio, but you can go to the new place.
Yeah.
And I know there's an adventure lab there. And so you can get several finds.
There you go. And of course, Josh, you did a video of this when you went down with your group of friends, didn't you? Of course you did. Well, I'll put that link in the show notes as well, mate. So that's there as well. So there you go. Well, Josh, moving on now, then this is yours again. Now, number five.
Oh, this is cool.
We're in the top
five. This one's cool.
Yep.
We're going to Miami. We're going to an underwater city of the dead.
What?
Off the shores of Miami.
What?
This is a scuba. This is a scuba virtual.
Oh, really? So it's a T5.
Yes. It's called Neptune Memorial Reef. Mm-hmm. And it's not a shipwreck.
No.
It's, you know, a lot of, it's not a shipwreck. It's an underwater city of the dead. So basically you go down there and there's like these pillars and there's like these buildings and there's like, you know, like a, it looks like a city that was underwater.
Like Waterworld.
And there's like a lion statue and there's coral forming on it. And it's like, and here's the cool thing, Craig, it's pretty accessible because, are you scuba certified?
Yes, I am.
Have you ever been?
Yes, I am.
Of course you are. You're from Australia.
Come on, hello.
Isn't everybody?
Exactly.
Isn't everybody?
We have to be. It's part of our school curriculum. No, I'm joking.
I bet. And I was certified in high school, so I'd have to get a recertification, but it's only 40 feet down.
Oh, that's not 40 far. Feet. Yeah, that's not far at all.
It's not too bad.
Deep sea then.
Yeah, I'm a little intimidated by really deep. So this is, but it's 3 miles off. You can, you know, charter.
Yeah.
A lot of dive shops,
they do it.
Take, you know, it's a place. But here's the thing that's really interesting about it. It was originally created to encourage sea life and coral to kind of form around it.
Yeah.
That's why they put it down there.
Yep.
But then it became a cemetery. It's a cemetery.
Like for real people? Like
Yeah, people have their ashes spread.
Oh, ashes, of course.
Especially divers. Yes. Like people that are really passionate about diving, their ashes are down. And the world's oldest diver, this is a fun fact, the world's oldest diver's remains are there.
That's really cool.
Isn't that fascinating?
That's really cool. Yes, yes.
So
there you go. So if you are scuba certified, that one there is very unique down in Miami. Number four, Josh, we're going to number four now. This time we're going to my favorite state of the USA, believe it or not. I'm not sure if people know this or not.
Minnesota.
Negative. It's right? Wyoming. Wyoming is my favorite state of the US. Okay. It's just cool. very, very, very. I love that Western sort of feel of Wyoming, you know, all the monoliths and that real Western look. So that's what I love about Wyoming the most. And the fact that there's not that many people there too, which is really nice. Anyway, this one's called, Josh, this one's called A Yellowstone Love Story. And it's by Dairy Medic. It's a 2020 cache as well. It's got a DT of 4.5, 2.5, because there's 10 waypoints you have to go to scattered throughout the actual Yellowstone National Park itself. And you have to have a photo at each location.
Neat.
Yeah. And again, Josh, it's one of those things where it's a virtual cache, so it makes sense because you can't place anything physical in the Yellowstone National Park. So this makes sense. But what I liked about this, Josh, was it's called Yellowstone Love Story because the CEO worked at Yellowstone back in 1992. She started working back in Yellowstone, and that's where she met her now late husband, you see, back in 92. Okay. They've since had four kids as well, and they returned to the park in 2010 with their children to sort of, you know, take them through all the different areas. Now, each of these 10 spots is significant to her because it's part of her 10 dates that she went on with her husband when they first met throughout the park. It's where, because he was obviously higher up in the park than what she was. Mm-hmm. She was basically like a gift shop worker type style. And he took in sort of a liking to her and said, look, you know, I'll take you around the park. So he then took her on this like personalized tour. And these 10 spots are their 10 date locations in the park. Aww. So that's really nice. And obviously, they're probably the 10 best spots in the park itself too. You know what I mean? So, so there you go.
And again, like, geocaching technically is not allowed in our national parks, some of our most beautiful locations in the United States. And it's really cool to be able to do some geocaching in a park this way.
Exactly.
And number four is all about, you know, this podcast is coming out in February.
That's right.
Here's our, there you go. Here's our touch of love.
Touch of love in the podcast.
Yes.
Very good, Josh. Number three, we're in the top three now. Top three.
All right. Number three is called the Triple Crown.
Triple Crown.
It is in Virginia. And get this, Greg.
Yeah.
It's on the the Appalachian Trail. It's on the Appalachian Trail.
Yes. Wow.
And so this is a area where it's AT. So it's the small town surrounding. I don't even have it written, but it's on the AT.
Yep.
And there's these three locations that are considered the Triple Crown. If you go to all three of these locations, you've completed it. It's like, you know, on the AT, there's the through hiking, but then there's often, I think, trails around the AT.
Yeah.
So this is actually, you don't have to do the AT, although a lot of AT hikers are the ones that have completed this.
Of course
this,
they would be.
Because it's really out there and it's, for some people, this took 3 days because you have to go to three specific landmarks within this area. Yeah. One is called McCaffrey's Knob. Oh my God, Craig, you should see the pictures. It's one of those things where like you're up high and this rock form juts out and you just kind of sit on it. And as soon as I saw it, I was like, wait a minute, I've seen this before. And our friend geocaching Katie.
Yes, we did.
She, of course, has pictures at all these places.
We did a podcast.
She completed it.
Yes, that's really cool.
Yes, she completed this. She was at all these locations, but I looked. Did she log it? I don't think she even knew there was a geocache.
No, probably not. Probably not.
She didn't know because it was a virtual. So McCaffrey Knob is a jutting out. There's another location. Mm-hmm. Again, you have to see the pictures. Yep. Dragon Tooth, it's a rock formation that just juts out of the ground.
Yep.
It's probably 30 feet high, called Dragon's Tooth. And then there's another one called Tinkering Cliffs.
Ugh.
Some really beautiful locations. Yep. It's the place you want to sit for sunrises or sunsets. Yeah. It was so cool. For some people that did it, it took them 3 days to accomplish it. Mm-hmm. So AT hikers, you know, it's, they're going to have to spend some time there. I messaged Katie about it, and she said, oh, it was amazing. She was there on mile 700.
Oh, okay. Yep.
It's mile 700. Other through hikers, it was day 62 of their hike from south to north. So,
wow, there you go.
Amazing, beautiful spot. Yeah. It's the stuff great calendars are made of.
Exactly. Exactly.
ET Highway. Or, I mean, not ET Highway. Sorry. Appalachian Trail, the AT.
The AT, not the highway, the AT. That's all it is. All right, Josh, we're coming down to number two now. Number two, we're ringing in now. This one here is very close to my heart, and I looked at it first, and I had to do some research about it because I thought, that's pretty rude to begin with, because it's called it's called the Pork Chopper. The Pork Delicious. Chopper. And what's...
Delicious.
No, yeah.
It's a barbecue, barbecue place,
not,
right?
No, it's not. It's about the police helicopter.
Oh.
So this one here is in Kansas, and the CO is Owen from KC. It's got a DT, a difficulty in terrain of 4.5, 1.5. So there's 14 questions you have to answer and take a photo as well. 85% favorites for this one, Josh. But what it is it a police museum, you see.
Oh, cool.
And this, neat. That's where it's actually located itself. So if you don't know, Josh, though, that Kansas City, Kansas actually had one of the first police helicopter units in the U.S., in the whole country.
Interesting.
So there you go. It was in operation from 1971 to 1979. It was officially called Operation Firefly, but Josh, and this is where it's not, it's okay to say this, the Pork Chopper, is because the police officer pilot, the very first one, he called it the Pork Chopper.
Ah, so it's not disrespectful.
He's a police officer. So it's not disrespectful because the police officer himself, the first one there did it, called it the Pork Chopper, hence the reason why the geocache name is the Pork Chopper. That's so cool. I still think it's funny because, you know, when they say, oh, can pigs fly? It's like, well, there you go. So
in Kansas, anyway. City, Kansas, they can.
Exactly, exactly. So there
what
you
do you
go,
have to do? Do you have to get a picture? Do you have to get some questions?
Yeah, 14 questions, 14 questions and one photo. So, yeah, it is a lot. So hence the reason why the difficulty is 4.5 for this one. And it's in the museum itself, so you do have to check the times for the museum before you go there too. So
that's a great way to explore the museum.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And I love, you know, sometimes I love visiting some of these military museums. I kind of say, you know, where you see some of the, again, airplanes and here, you know, helicopters, stuff like that. So
yeah,
love that. All right. Number one, Craig.
Number one.
Are you ready? Number one, we're going to, surprise, surprise. I don't know if it's a surprise. Detroit.
Detroit? Michigan?
Downtown Detroit. Back to reality. That was Eminem. Yes, Eminem, yeah. Detroit, anybody?
There you go.
Okay, so this is called, it's so tempting not to sing.
I know you're gonna sing it. I was waiting for you to sing it. You can sing it. You got my permission.
She's got a ticket to ride. She's got a ticket to ride. It's called Ticket to Ride.
Yeah, if you didn't realize.
Ticket to Ride. This reminds me, Craig.
Yeah.
This reminds me of the Adventure Lab we just completed in Florida at Disney World.
Yeah. Why?
Kind of.
Why? What do you have to do?
You get on the train. It's like the people mover train.
So
it
does.
There's I believe this train loops. It loops around downtown Detroit, and you're thinking, what?
Yeah,
Detroit. Well, Detroit has some of the most interesting and unique architecture that has been preserved. And so basically what you do, you ride in this train, takes 2.5 hours. Mm-hmm. Sounds like the people that did this, it sounds like quite an experience. You get out of the train at each spot, stop, and you take a photo of something, and then you get back in the train.
Oh, one of those.
Yeah.
Yeah, yes. That's really cool. That's really cool.
And I love when geocaches use the infrastructure that is already around them to like complete it. So like the tool is a train.
Yeah.
And gets you around. And again, everybody that has done this says they were surprised, I think, on how beautiful this architecture is and how different the buildings were. Mm-hmm. It's just sounds like a really neat way to explore and to see the downtown Detroit area.
That's really cool, Josh. And that reminds me though, of there's a virtual cache in Sydney. And it's the same sort of system, except you use the ferries and not the train. So the ferries all across the harbour itself, the Sydney Harbour, you know, around the Opera House, the Harbour Bridge, the whole lot. But you ready for this, Josh? You ready for the actual cache name?
What is it?
It's called Ferry McFerryface. Because we had a new ferry come into Australia itself, and they put it out there, Josh, amongst the public to name this ferry, and 98% went Ferry McFerryface was the name of the new ferry. So, yeah, so that's there you go. So that's
Ferry McFerryface.
So that's the name of the new ferry there in Australia. So there you go. There you go,
so
Josh. Top 15.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I haven't been talking about. Like you've been talking about the people that have hidden these virtuals. I've been skipping that. I apologize, but I'm going to mention this one. Mm-hmm. After all, it is number one.
It is.
And it is created by Team GMMP. So congratulations on being the number one according to the Laura Wilson score.
Yeah.
And in Detroit, congrats to your football team. There's a lot to celebrate, mm-hmm. and there's a lot to be proud of.
Oh, geez.
Of Detroit right now. My guess is that Team GMMP, they're proud of their town. They're proud of Detroit. They're proud of their football team. And you know what? That's a damn rare thing these days.
There you go. I knew you had to get it in somewhere. You don't even write it in the show notes, Josh. You don't even write it in the show notes. You know that, don't you?
I like to surprise you.
You do. You really do.
I like to surprise you.
I was waiting for it. I was waiting for it. So, but speaking of proud, we're very proud, Josh, too. We're proud of our Patreons, too.
Yes, we are.
Yes.
We're so proud of them. And thank you. I just saw the bills coming in. You know what?
Yeah, I know.
Here's the deal. Craig pays the bills. Yeah. I see them come in. Yeah. I see how much it costs to get this podcast hosted, mm-hmm. and to get this podcast sounding great. It's not a cheap thing. No. Podcasts are not a cheap thing. And we're just so proud that this podcast is completely supported, mm-hmm. by our patrons.
Yeah.
Very rarely will you hear any sort of ad on here unless somebody sends something free, or
and
if Miller High Life
decent.
Yeah, yeah. Something good. You send us something good, we might talk about
we might.
On this podcast. But if we don't get sent anything good, we're just gonna give the love to our patrons.
Exactly.
So if you're listening to this, you know, my guess is that there's some people out there, Craig,
mm-hmm.
that have been listening to us.
Yeah.
And they're like, they've thought about it. They're like, you know what? I should do that.
Yes.
I should, you know, my 2024 resolution, I should support this podcast. Exactly. I listen to them almost every week.
Exactly.
They help me get me through my week. And if that's you, we would really appreciate your support. Mm-hmm. Help us to continue to keep this going. So please consider joining us on Patreon. It's patreon.com/ Treasures of Our Town.
Easy. It's easy to remember, Josh. Easy. So,
yes.
And for the price of a cup of coffee, that's all it is. You can even do a start off free, Josh, as well, and get a couple of the nuggets and then move on to the paid section and get all the nuggets too, all the golden nuggets. So there you go. Josh, our next episode. Is it true? Uh-huh. Is this true?
What are we doing?
I think it's
Where
true.
Are we going, Craig?
I think we're going,
Where are we
south,
going?
Down south. I think you're going to meet me down south in Bamarama.
Bamarama in Alabama. We're going to,
yeah.
This is the second ever Bamarama mega event, mm-hmm. and we will be there.
Yeah.
If you're listening to this, I believe this podcast comes out on the week of Bamarama.
Yeah.
So you're going to see us in a few days, and we'll be there. If you're down there, make sure you say hi to us.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure you tell us that you listen to the podcast, because that makes us feel good.
It does. It does.
we don't have a comment section, right?
No.
So,
We're
going to be going down.
We might even do a live. Yeah. We might do another live as in one, like together live podcast.
Yes.
Recorded podcast.
Possibly.
Yeah, yeah.
We're going to also want to talk to somebody from their Chamber of Commerce. Just
this is true.
We'll want to talk to an expert.
Yes.
So we're not sure if we might do, I'm guessing we probably, Craig, will do sections of it, mm-hmm, live, mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. then maybe we'll layer on like an interview with somebody that knows something.
Exactly. Exactly. That sounds good. So,
the Gulf Shores. The Gulf Shores
of Alabama. Exactly right.
So, Craig, don't move.
No.
Stay in that parking lot, and I'll meet you down there.
Well, no, I've got to move south still. So I'm up north. North Alabama at the moment.
Oh,
so, yeah,
okay.
I'll meet you down there. So I'll meet you down there, Josh. But otherwise, how else can people find us, Josh, if they're not going to Alabama?
Feel free to reach out to us at treasuresofourtownpodcast@gmail.com, or you can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube.
So that's our show for today. So please subscribe, rate, and review on your favorite podcasting app. And as always, Josh,
may your travels always lead you to the most unexpected and amazing hidden gems, virtually or around the world. See you next time. Bye, everybody.
See you later. Bye.